Today's shiur is Masecht Megillah, Daf Chaf Dalad, and we will begin on Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Beis at the Mishnah, two lines from the bottom of the Amud. Says the Mishnah, Kair B'Torah, as somebody is getting an Aliyah in the Torah, La'yifchais Mishloisha Psukim, he should not read less than three Psukim. V'la'yikru L'metorgamim Yoyis Mipasuk Echad, as we have discussed previously, in those times when the Torah was read, they would read a pasuk, and then the meturgamen, the interpreter, would get up and say in Targum, in Aramish, what the pasuk said. Teaches us the Mishnah that the meturgamen should only be metargame one pasuk at a time, because as the Rishonim explain, since it's important that the people understand everything that's being said from the Torah, so reading more than one pasuk and being metargam more than one pasuk at a time may be too much for them to absorb, and they will not understand everything that's being taught. However, ubin Navi, when we're learning Navi for the Haftarah, there, since it's not as full of halachas and mitzvahs as the Torah is, we could be metargam shloshe pasukim at a time. However, says the Mishnah, and the three psukim that are being read from Navi are three different parshias. There, Kairan Echad Echad, we have to read them and we metargam each pasuk separately. As the Ran explains, there really is no situation with three psukim are read consecutively and they come from three different parshias. So therefore the Ran explains, Sholosh parshias really means three different inyonim. If each pasuk represents a different thought, then the halacha is that we may not read and be metargam three psukim, even in Navi, at the same time. Medargam in Navi, we may skip from one place in Navi to another place in Navi. However, ve'ei medargam b'tayru, we may not do so when learning from the Torah. V'atkamuhu medalik, when in Navi we say we're allowed to turn pages, we're allowed to mish, how much are we allowed to? Says the Mishnah, we're only allowed to skip the amount that before the meturgamen finishes being metargim, interpreting the psukim that he's in the middle being metargim, we will have finished turning the pages. If it takes any longer than that, we can't skip that much. So the Mishnah began that the minimum amount of an Ali is three psukim. Ask the Gemara, Hani give a psukim kenegami, what are these three psukim minimum aliyah represent? Amrav Asi keneged Torah Neviim uv Ksuvim. The Mishnah said, V'layikra metogim in Yosef Pesach Echad, when we're reading the Chumash, the metogim should not be metargim more than one pasuk at a time, ubenavi he may be metargim gimel psukim. But the Mishnah said, if the three psukim in Navi are three different parashiyos, then the halacha is kari echad echad, we have to read and interpret each pasuk individually. What are such an example? Kigoin, kari amar Hashem chinam lemkartam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that you do aveiros for no reason. Kari amar Hashem elkim mitzrayim oyard ami b'rishayna, Klai Yisrael went to Mitzrayim. And the next pasuk is Tamali Poi Num Hashem. Why? What do I have here? Says Hashem. So as the Ran continues to explain, as we learned in the Mishnah, these three psukim are actually not three different parshiyos; they're just three different inyanim. And since they're three different inyanim, they have to be read separately and interpreted separately. The Mefarshim ask, if that's the case, that they're three separate psukim, so why, but not three different parashiyos, why they call three different parashiyos? So the Mefarshim explain, since each pasuk represents a different thought and a different concept, and two of them even begin with the words Koyamar Hashem, so even though they're really in one parasha, they're considered three separate parashiyos. We learned in the Mishnah, Medalgi Medavi, Vei Medalgi Taira. We'll let us skip what we're learning when we're reading Navi, but not when we're reading Torah. For many, asked the Gemara, when the Kohen Gadol read the Torah on Yom Kippur, Kari Machrimos, he reads from Parshas Akrimos, and he reads from Akrav Asur, which is in Parshas Emor. So we ski that even in the Torah we skip from one parasha to another parasha. Welcome, Metallic. As the Gemara, we just learned in the Mishnah, you're not allowed to skip. Here we clearly see that in Torah, they did, the Kohen Gadol did skip on Yom Kippur. On Rabbi Eloi Kasha. Kan b'chdesh yifsekam turgimin. Al, the Mishnah, Masech the Yuma, referring to the Avodah of the Kohen Gadol, is referring that he finished turning before the Meturgimin finishes saying his Targum. The Kan b'chdesh lo yifsekam turgimin. He can't finish before the Meturgim finishes saying what he has to say. Ask the Gemara, v'alok tani, in our Mishnah we learned, medalgim and Navi vei medalgim Torah. Only in Navi may we skip, not in Torah. Continue the Mishnah teaching us, and in Navi one we're allowed to skip, at kamahu medalik, how much may he skip, at kedai shalai yifsuk of Torgimin. Only if he finishes before the Metagim finishes his Targum. Michlal. So isn't our Mishnah teaching us the Torah klal klaloi, that in Torah one may not skip under any circumstances? So how can we explain that we are allowed to skip on Yom Kippur as long as it's in the amount of time that the Targum finishes his interpretation? Elam Rabbi Eloi Kasha, Kamin Yin Echad, the Mishnah Masech the Yuma, that allows skipping when reading the Torah is referring when we're speaking about one subject, which is the situation in Yom Kippur. Both the Parashat Akrimos and the Parashat Emor speak about Yom Kippur. Kan, when our Mishnah says that we may not skip when reading the Torah, is referring to Shtei Inyanos, when we're reading two different subjects, there in the Torah we may never skip. And actually, on every tiny Sibur, we skip, because we skip in when we read the Parashat V'Yichal, we begin with the Parashat V'Yichal, and then we skip to the next parasha of Psalucha. Vatanya, and the Gemara brings a raya. Here Vatanya is not a question, Vatanya is a raya, that we may do so. When reading the Torah, we may skip as long as it's one subject. Or Benavi, we're allowed to skip even B'Shnei Inyonim. But in both cases, we may only skip that the skipping should be completed before the Meturgim says finishes saying his interpretation. Tanya Idach, we learned in another Braisa, Eim Adalgim Navi Navi, we're not going to skip from one Sefer Nevi'im to another Sefer Nevi'im. However, Ubenavi Shoshneim Asur Medalag, all of Trey Asur is considered one Navi, and therefore, even though they're separate Sfarim, we may skip from one to the next. However, says the Gemara, Ovachlo Idalag Mesefer Sefer Lechilasoi, we cannot skip backwards, we could only skip forwards. There's a machlokes rishonim when the Gemara says here that we're only allowed to jump, skip forward. Is the Gemara only referring to Trei Asur? Given that Trei Asur is really 12 separate books, therefore we may only skip forward but not skip backwards. But in other Nevi'im, since we're skipping only within one Navi, we will be allowed to skip both forwards and in reverse? Or perhaps some Rishonim suggest our Gemara is teaching us that we only may skip in a forward direction, we may never skip in a reverse direction. Teaches us the Mishnah, Hamafter Benavi, the person who says Mafter, who Paris or Shema, he's the one that says the Paris Shema. We learned yesterday that Paris or Shema is if people came together that had already davened and now want to have some aspect of Tefillah B'Tzibur. So since the person who's Mafter B'Navi, as we learn in the Gemara, is considered being the person who's Mafter B'Navi is considered not a significant position, so we want to compensate him. The way we compensate him is by giving him the opportunity to be Paris or Shema. V'Oivil Fnei Teva, we give him the covet of being the Shliach Tzibur, for who knows his kapov, and he's the one that goes to Duchening. So Mepharshim asks, Duchening is something that every Kohen goes up to be Noisei Kapayim, not only the person who's Mafter. So what does the Mishnah mean when it says, for who knows his kapov? So a number of terutzim given. One terutz is that the Gemara says in Masechta Soita, if there's a shul, that all the members of the shul of Kahanim So if there are more than 10 kohanim in the shul, says the Gemara Masechta Sota, 10 kohanim should go up to Duchen, and the rest of the kohanim should stay and listen to the Brichas Kohanim. Teaches us the Mishnah that if such will be the circumstance in this shul, if the kohen, if the Mafta Benavi will always be one of the kohanim that will be given that opportunity to Duchen. Another teretz is that the minig in those times, says the Merame Sada, where there was one kohen who began the Brichas Kohanim. This kohen, says the Gemara, who was Mafta Benavi, would get that kibud. Another teretz that the Sfas Emes gives is that Tosfos teaches us that someone who's not Nesmalei Ziknoi should not duchen on a regular basis. However, says the Sfas Emes, what our Mishnah is teaching us is on a day where a kohen is the Mafta Benavi, that's a day, even though he's not duchening every day, that day he should duchen. The Rishash answers that the Gemara says that if the kohen is about tefillah, he should not necessarily duchen, because he can't be sure that he's going to properly go from the tefillah to the duchening back to the tefillah. However, it tells us the Rishash that if this person is a mafta benavi, since he took on this position of being mafta benavi, and even though he's about tefillah, we will allow him to duchen also. The Beis Halevi attempts to suggest that perhaps what the Mishnah says is that there was one kohen that would make the bracha, and all the other kohanim would be yotzei with his bracha. And the Mishnah is teaching us which kohen would have that schus, the one that was mafta benavi. However, the Beis Halevi himself says that he's not quite certain that this is permissible lahalocha. He says that the halocha is that when kohanim duchen, they have to duchen b'kol ram, with a loud voice. So he says, just like we discussed, that when it comes to Mikra Megillah, the reason each one of us mentioned a Seres Bnei Haman, and we don't rely on the Balkaire, because since there's a halacha of Neshima Achas, that all the Seres Bnei Haman have to be seven Neshima Achas, so we can't rely on the Balkaire for that. Similarly, says the Baal Beis Halevi, one kohen cannot rely on the other kohen. Maybe he can rely on him with the concept of Shemei Ka'ayna, but he cannot rely on him for Kol Rab, and every kohen should say the bracha and the brachas of of the duchening individually. Says the Mishnah, however, if this person was getting mafter, as we learned, the cotton may get mafter of a rabbi over al yadoi. So then his father or his rebbe should take his place. And Mefarshim explained that even though the Gemara says in Masechet Baba Metzia that a child has obligation to respect his rebbe more than to respect his father, here everybody agrees that the father gets first right to take over his son's chus. And the explanation is, because two explanations. One reason is that here it's a concept of Yerusha, of an inheritance. And certainly a father inherits a child, not a rebbe. Another explanation is the Gemara Masechta Baba Metzia is teaching us that the son has the child has to respect his Rebbe more than he has to respect his father. Here we're not referring to what the child is doing for the father, what the child is doing for the Rebbe. It's what Chazal established should be done. And Chazal established that the father comes before the child. The father should say, what's the wording of the Mishnah? Oivrim. Because it's actually somewhat of an aveira here, that we are relying on a child for all these things. That's why the Mishnah uses the word over. Cotton, says the Mishnah, kaira b'tayra m'targum. The cotton may read the Torah and also be m'targumen. So as the Mefarshim explained, even though we learned in the Mishnah yesterday that kriyas ha-Torah requires a minyan, and we also know that a child cannot be part of a minyan, explain the Mefarshim that Kriyas HaTorah is not a concept of Shemei Ka'ona, that every one of us have an obligation to read from the Torah, and the child or whoever is the Baal Kaira is being Maitzios with a concept of Shemei Ka'ona. Rather, explained the Mefarshim. Kriyas HaTorah is a concept that the Tzibur, that when we have a Tzibur davening together, Monday, Thursday, Shabbos, part of the tefillah, part of the obligation that that Tzibur has is to hear Kriyas HaTorah. So when the Katan is reading the Torah for us, it's not because of Shemei Ka'ina, rather it's just obligation of the Tzibur that there should be Kriyas HaTorah taking place in the shul at that time. And that's why the Mishnah teaches us that we can rely on a katan for Kriyas HaTorah. However, the Mishnah Berurah says that we do not rely on katan reading the Torah on our behalf. The Mishnah only means that a katan can get an aliyah, but not that he can read a balkaira. It seems that that's the way the Magen Avraham holds also. However, the Prima Gadim disagrees. Prima Gadim says, where the Mishnah says, Katan Kaira B'Torah, it should be taken literally, that the Katan may be the Baal Kaira. And in fact, I saw a very interesting tshuva for Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe discusses a situation where a child had prepared his Kriyas HaTorah with the assumption that his Bar Mitzvah Parsha would be a certain parsha, and then he realized that he made an error, and his bar mitzvah would be on a different sedra. So Rav Moshe says that it's very distressful to this child that he will have prepared for nothing, and that his bar mitzvah will come, and he will not have the opportunity to read from the Torah. And therefore, Rav Moshe says that the child may read the Torah even though he's not yet the Bar Mitzvah, based on the Prima Gadim, which the Prima Gadim bases his Pesach based on what we just learned in our Mishnah. Continues the Mishnah. Pirus Aval Ena Pirus Al Shema. A cotton may not be the one that's Pirus Al Shema, and furthermore, the cotton may not be the Ein Oivel Fnei Teva. He's now out of Duchen. He's now be about Tfila. Ve'en Ois Kapov. He's now out of Duchen. Tosfos says when it says he's now out of Duchen, means that we're not allowed to have a Koyin Duchen on his own, but to be part of the Tzibur, the other Kahanim who are Duchening, he may go up and Duchen together with other Kahanim. Tosfos also points out, as we said earlier, that someone who's not Nismale Ziknoi should not duchen on a regular basis. However, the Magen Avraham says that we in Chutz La'aretz who only duchen on Yom Tov anyway, it's always considered akroi, a duchening, and every Kayin may duchen on every Yom Tov. Says the Mishnah. Paicheach, someone whose legs are exposed, that's how Rashi understands Paicheach. Other Rishonim explain Pecheach as one who's not dressed properly. Paris Hashma, he could be the one that's Paris Hashma. He could be the one that's Metargim. Avil Eina Kaira B'Taira, we do not allow him to be the Baal Kaira. Ve'en Oivel Lefnei Teva, and we do not allow him to be the Baal Tefila. Suma, someone who's blind. Paris Hashma, he's allowed to be Paris Hashma. He's also allowed to be Metargim. Rehuda Omer, Kalshara Loira Ma'aris Miyamav. Someone was born, Rachman al-Slam, blind, and he never had the opportunity to see the stars, the sun, the moon. Ein Parash Shema is not allowed to be Parash Shema, since as part of the Bracha, our Parash Shema is Yoytza Ma'aris, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for seeing these stars and the sun. This person cannot make that Bracha. Tosfos over here, in discussing this person who is blind, Tosfos asks that Rabbi Yehuda is the man the Omer that holds in all of Shas that a Suma is part of Mikol HaMitzvos. So if a Suma is part of the Mitzvos, how, asks Tosfos, can we allow him to be Pirus El Shema, to be Maitzi the Tzibur? So answers Tosfos that even though Midoraisa, a Suma is Potter Mikol HaMitzvos, still Midrabonon, he's Mechuyev in Mitzvos. And continues to say, Tosfos, since Birchas Krishma, which we're referring to when we speak about Parasol Shema, is also only Midrabanan. So therefore, the Suma, who's Chayiv Midrabanan, could be Maitzi us, who we are also only Mechayiv Midrabanan. And Tysus points out, even though he, Tysus himself, we spoke about this Tysus earlier, holds that a cotton is not able to be Maitzi us, a cotton is also Mechayiv Mitzvah Midrabanan. And Tysus said, because a cotton has two Chayiv Midrabanan versus us, who only have one Chiv Drabonon. So that's why we can't be Mekayim the Mitzvah with a cotton. Why here can we be Mechuyiv with, can we be Mekayim the Mitzvah with a Suma? So Taisus seems to explain that we cannot compare the situation of a cotton to the situation of a Suma. A Suma, firstly, is a Bardas. He has intelligence. Unfortunately, he's blind, but he's intelligent. Moreover, a Suma is going to stay in this situation probably for the rest of his life. However, a cotton will become a gadol. And the Tori Evan takes it even a step further. Tori Evan says, specifically when it comes to Birchas Kriya Shema, Chazal were more lenient regarding the obligation of chinuch. Because since Birchas Kriya Shema is said every day, and they're said twice a day, and they're generally said in the morning and the evening, when the father is not necessarily with the child, so the obligation of chinuch regarding Birchas Kriya Shema is a very weak or maybe non-existent chiyuv, and therefore we can't compare a cotton to a suma, and a suma can be maitzios with the Birchas Kriya Shema, with Parashat Shema, and a gadol cannot. The Tori Evan asks Rabbi Yehuda, he says, draws a distinction between a cotton who, between a suma who once saw versus suma who never saw. Ask the Tori Evan, why should there be a difference? He says that what, once the person no longer is able to see, so he's no longer able to see, what's the difference? Answers the Tori Evan, the Valdiga Teretz. He says, every morning we make a bracha shlo yosani goy. Every morning we make a bracha shlo yosani eved, that we're not a goy, that we're not an eved. So again, ask the Tori Evan, that's a bracha that we should make once in our life, thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we're not avodim, thanking Hashem that we're not goyim. Why do we make the bracha every day? Because every day we have to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the chasodim that he does with us. Similarly, says the Tori Evan, unfortunately this person is blind, but at one point of his life, when he was born or to whatever point of his life, he wasn't blind. That's a chesed that we have to thank Hashem for. Ask the Gemara, my Tama, what's the reason that the person who says maftir is the person that gets all the other privileges mentioned in the Mishnah? So Rapapa Mishum Kovid, since he agreed to read the Haftarah, which is not an honor, and as the Mefarshim explained, we know that the halacha is that a cotton can read the Haftarah. So since it's not such a great kovid, so this is how we compensate him by giving him these other privileges. Rabbi Simam Mishum Doslan Tsuye, to avoid a fight with the Baal Tefillah. As Rashi explains, since the Baal Tefillah would get paid, but the person who read the Maftir Haftarah would not get paid, so there would be room for resentment between these individuals, so he compensated the Baal Maftir by giving him this opportunity to read, to get all the other privileges mentioned in the Mishnah. Ask the Ramai Benayu, what's the difference between these two explanations? The difference is where the Baal Tefillah works, does the davens for free. If that's the case, then the Baal Maftir doesn't have any special privileges. If, however, the reason is because of COVID, then he still deserves these special privileges. Tanan asked the Gemara, we learned in the Mishnah, from Haya Cotton, if this child is a cotton, Aviv a rabbi, Ivram al Yadai, his father or his Rebbe, take his place. I explain it to Gemara. If the reason why the Baal Maftir gets these privileges is because we want to avoid a quarrel. Ask the Gemara, Katan Banetsuyahu, is the Katan one that's going to quarrel because he didn't get the right amount of covered? He's a Katan, says the Gemara, Elamai Mishum covered, and if the reason it's not covered, so we have the exact same question. Katan Ba covered who? Does the Katan realize that he is getting covered, isn't getting covered, upset about the missing covered? Ella, what do we have to explain? When we speak about covered, it doesn't mean his covered. We're referring Ike Kvoid Aviv Kvoid Rabbi. We're referring to the covered of his father and his Rebbe. Similarly, when we speak about Netsuye, we're not speaking about him quarreling. Hachanami Ike Netsuye Aviv Netsuye Rabbi. We're speaking about his father or his Rebbe quarreling. We learned in the Mishnah, a Pecheyach Pyrus El Shema, that someone whose legs are exposed could be Pyrus El Shema. So Ula Barav asked Abaya, if a cotton's legs are exposed, may he be the Baal Kairi? So as the Turi Evan explains the Gemara, even though it's understood that there is no issue of Layir B'cha Arvis Dover, there's no problem of the ever being exposed when the cotton is weaning, when it's a cotton. But the Gemara's question is there a concern for Kavarat Tzibur when a cotton's legs are exposed? Amalei, so says Abayi, but to boil a arm. If the entire issue under consideration is not a consideration of erva, rather the consideration is an issue of Kavarat Tzibur, so we could ask the same question, would you ask the same question by a child who's completely undressed? So says the Gemara, of course not. You certainly would never ask that an undressed, even child should be allowed to do these things. Why wouldn't you ask the question? Mishum Kvayt Sibur. Certainly it's not a Kvayt Sibur that a child not dressed, even though he's a child, should not be the one reading the Torah. Hachinami, similarly, even though he's just a Pecheyach, Mishum Kvayt Sibur, we should not allow him to read from the Torah. Just continuing what the Mishnah taught us that we compensate someone who got a lesser kibud by giving him other privileges. There's an interesting psak from the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. It's not really a psak that I think is generally followed, but it makes a lot of sense. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says that on a day that is a bris, if it's a day that we read from the Torah, especially if it's on a Monday or Thursday, so we don't have too many aliyahs, there's always an issue who has kedima, who has preference to getting aliyah. Do we say the mayil? Do we say the sandik? Do we say the avi ben, the father, the child? So the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says that the one that has preference is the kfater. What's pshat? Because certainly amongst the other kibudim, the kfater is a lesser kibud. So the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says, in order to compensate this person who got the lesser kibud, we give him the aliyah. Suma, we learned in the Mishnah, Paris al Shema, he's the one that allowed to be Paris al Shema. Tanya, Omar loy Rabbi Yehuda, they said to Rabbi Yehuda, habit suffer liturgy from Merkava. Many people try to understand the Maisa Merkava in Parashat Yecheskel, even though they don't understand it. Similarly, even though this person was born blind and he never saw the Ma'iris, still he should be allowed to say the bracha. Rabbi Yehuda, answers them, Hasam bavant de libetayim milsa. Explaining the Maisa Merkava is based on one's ability to understand. So if somebody will concentrate, he'll understand, I'll be able to learn it. Hacha, however, the bracha of Yoytza Ma'iris is Mishum Hanah. It's because of the benefit that we get from the Ma'iris. For Ha, and this person who was blind from birth, Leslie Hanah, never had benefit from these Ma'iris, and therefore does not make the bracha. Or at least certainly doesn't say the bracha till we might see the Tzibur. Rabbanan. They're brought on hold that even someone who was born blind may be Paris Hashma. Isle Hanah says that even a blind person does have Hanah from the Ma'iris. as Rabbi Yossi explains, the Tanya Amar Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi said, "Kol yomai yoyisi mitzta'am mikrazeh." I always had a problem understanding the following pasuk. The pasuk says in the Teichacha, "Vayisim emashmish betzarayim," and you will grope in the moon. Kashi emashmish aiver befeila, like a blind man gropes in the darkness. Is the question? Viki ma'ich beslei la'iver ben afeila la'ira. Is there a difference to a blind person if it's light or dark? For him, Nebuch, it's always dark. Until the following incident happened to me. I was once walking at the dark of night. And I saw a blind person walking on the road and a torch in his hand. I said to him, Bani, avukas olamalach. Why do you need this torch? You can't see anyway. Amatila, Amali, so responded to me. Kol zman shavuka biyodi. As long as I have the torch in my hand, bnei adam roya see. People see me. Omitzilai see me in bechassim and in a kaitzim bechadim. And they save me from falling into ditches, from getting hurt by the ditches, from the thorns, from falling in somewhere. So too, the blind person always benefits from the ma'iris, and that's why the Rabbanan hold they could say yoitzer ha-ma'iris. The Paiskim actually discuss various halachas that should not ever be relevant to us regarding a blind person, what he's permitted and what he's not permitted. The Shulchan Aruch says that a suma does not make a baracha bar me'ra'esh by havdalah matzoi Shabbos, since he can't benefit from the ar. There's a machlokes regarding Birkas Levana. The Mashal says that he may make Birkas Levana. Rav Kiva Eger quotes a Marikash that says he may not. Regarding making the bracha of Pekeich Ivrim every morning, the Rav Kiva Eger says, based on our Gemara, that he may make the bracha because he benefits from the fact that other people, Baruch Hashem, can see. The Machzis Shekel Ever disagrees and says that he may not make that bracha, since unfortunately he cannot see. The Baal Shem Tov explains this Gemara. He says that this Gemara is referring to people who unfortunately cannot necessarily learn Torah themselves. He says what the Gemara is teaching us is sometimes you have a person who's blind. He's blind that he cannot see the beautiful, great words of the Torah. However, he could hold the avuka, he could hold the torch for those of us who can't see the words of Torah. The people who support and give chizik financially in every way to those that learn Torah are the blind people that are holding the avuka and also share in our schar. Says the Mishnah, Kayin sheyesh biyada mumin, a kayin who's holding, who has in his hands different blemishes, la yisos kapov, may not duchen. So the Mefarshim explain that a balmum, someone who's a balmum, even though he's not allowed to do the avoida, is allowed to duchen. Here, however, the concern is that if he has mumen, here there's a new concern that if he has mumen in his hand, he may not duchen, and we'll explain in a moment why. Rudaimer, Af Misha Yodov Suistis, someone whose hands are stained, also La Yisul Kapov, Meina Duchen, Nesha'am Mistaklan Boy, because everyone will look at him, everybody's going to be staring at him while he's saying the bracha. So Rashi says, what's the concern if everyone stares at him while he's saying the bracha? So Rashi says that the Gemara says, Mesech Techagiga, that when the Kohanim Duchen, they spread their fingers, the Shechina is on those fingers, and if someone looks at that, their fingers at that time, their eyes get weak and they can get blind. So we if the Kohen has this deformity, people may look at his fingers and come and therefore put themselves in danger for the eyes becoming blind. Tosfos in Masechta Chagiga takes issue with Rashi's Pshat, because Tosfos says that this concept that the Shechina is on top of the fingers of the Kohanim when they duchen was only when they duchen, when they said the Shem HaMefirish in the Beis HaMikdash. It's not relevant now when we're not talking with the Shem and Farish in the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, Tosfos explains the concern is that we're supposed to concentrate on the bracha the Kohen is saying. And if the Kohen has a deformity, we may stare at that deformity and not pay the proper attention to the Brichas Kahanim. The Tosfos HaRosh seems to have a different shot to answer Tosfos' Kashan Rashi. He says that certainly the Shechina rests on the finger of the Kahanim even when they're not duchening with the Shem HaMafayrish and even when they're not duchening in the Beis HaMikdash. However, he says the level of the Shechina's presence is certainly greater in the Beis HaMikdash with the Shem HaMafayrish than when it's not in the Beis HaMikdash without the Shem HaMafayrish. Based on these explanations, there are a number of halacha lemaisis that we have to think about. What if, since the minig is, the poskim say nowadays, that in most places, when the kohanim duchen, they cover their hands, the fingers, with a talus, so the concern that's being raised by a mishnah is no longer relevant, because there's nothing, we won't be able to see the deformity of his hand, because his hands are covered also. The Mefarshim do say, perhaps even in a place where the Kohanim do not normally cover their hands, let's tell the Kohen, who, Rachman Lutzlan, has a deformity in his hand, to cover his hands, and therefore be allowed to duchen. So the Mefarshim say, if everyone doesn't cover their hands, and this Kohen does cover his hands, that will be the greatest reason for people to stare. So it's only in a place where everybody covers their hands is there such a concern. Another nafkamina between Rashi and Tosfos' explanation of Mishnah will be regarding one's feet. We know that the Kahanim also take off their shoes when they duchen. So if the concern, as Tosfos explained, is that if there's a deformity, and they'll stare at the deformity and not concentrate on the bracha, so the same issue applies to the feet. However, if the concern is because they're going to look at the deformity where the shechina is, that's only on the hands, not on the feet. Interestingly to note, the Tori Evans says, again, let's say, according to Tosfos, that even if there's a deformity in the feet, one should not be allowed to duchen. Let's tell this Kohen to wear his shoes. Because Tori Evans says the entire reason the Gemara says that a Kohen doesn't wear his shoes when he duchens is because we're afraid that the shoelace may break and he'll not duchen properly. Isn't this more important than that consideration? Says the Tori Evans again. If every Kohen is taking off his shoe and this Kohen is not taking off his shoe, that's the greatest reason why somebody would stare at this person's feet. There's an interesting psak that I saw from Yitzhak Zilberstein, also along the same lines. He says, in a place where everyone wears socks, so number one, in a place where everyone wears socks, even if the Kohen has, Rechman Tzlon, a deformity on his feet, it wouldn't be a consideration because we can't see it. But let's say, says the Tori Evan, says the Rav Yitzhak Zilberstein, that everyone in this place wears socks, and this Kohen goes up to the Duchen not wearing socks, so that's going to be a reason why people will stare at him. He's wearing socks. He's not wearing socks. Everyone is. And such a Kohen should not be allowed to duchen. Tana. Says the Gemara. Mumin sha'amru. The moon that we discussed are befana of yod of a raglum. His face, his hands, and his feet. Amru shuva levi. Yod of a hakanius. If somebody has spotted hands, rachman otzlan, la yisa is kapov, he should not be allowed to duchen. Tanya namihochi, yod behakonius, lo yisas kapiv, akumus, if somebody's hands are bent forward, akushus, or they're bent to the side, all of these will cause people to stare, and therefore lo yisas kapov. Amar of Asi, chayfni lo yisas kapov, somebody who's from Haifa should not be allowed to duchen. And Tanya namihochi, ein meridin lefnei ateva, we do not allow someone to be about fila, loy anchi beshan, for lunch anchi beschefa, for loy anchi tvoinim, neshikarn la alfen einen ul einen alfen. They don't properly pronounce the difference between an aleph and an ayin. So, number one, the Mishnah Berurah says that nowadays that we also, no one really pronounces properly the difference between an aleph and an ayin. Therefore, this is not considered a reason not to allow someone to duchen nowadays. Rashi explains that what's the problem by someone who can't properly pronounce Aleph or Ayin, because you can sense saying, when he says the word Yor Hashem Panav Elecha, when Aleph, which means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will shine his face towards you, he will say with an Ayin, Yor, which means to curse. Ask the Tori Evan, why does Rashi have to say that reason? Rashi should have said a much simpler reason. The Aloch is that when one duchens, he has to be careful to pronounce every word properly, and this person is not pronouncing the words properly. So the Tori Evan answers that this halacha, that we have to be careful to pronounce every word properly, is only when by about tefillah. About tefillah is being mitzi the tzibur, so he has to be careful to pronounce the words properly. Here we're not referring to a kain as not being mitzi the tzibur, so perhaps there would not be such a consideration of pronouncing the words properly. That's why the Rashi says the reason, because he's actually cursing instead of blessing. Other Mefarshim explain that given that a Kohen has a mitzvah to be Mevarech as Klal Yisrael, so one would say, given that he has this obligation, he should duchen, even if he can't pronounce the words properly. That's why Rashi says, yes, he has an obligation, but that's only when it comes out with a bracha, not when it comes out with a klal. If you were a Levi, you would not be allowed to, you would not join the other Levim in singing on the platform. You have a very heavy voice, and as the Rishonim explained, therefore your voice would not blend with the choir with the other Kahanim. Also, Amalei Levua, and he went and repeated this to his father. Amalei, so Rabbi said to Rabbi Shimon, Zil Amalei, go tell him, Kishat Magia Eitzel V'chikisi Lashem, when you're going to come to the Pasuk in Yeshayah that says, we hope for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, L'nimtzus Mecharef Megadif, you'll be cursing Chas V'Shom HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he could not pronounce a Ches. So when he said V'chikisi Lashem, it would sound like V'chikisi, I will hit Hashem, Rachman al-Tzlan, and therefore you also have a problem. Arafun is Valgun. Machlaik is what this means, either somebody whose eyes are constantly tearing, or someone who constantly drools, Loyisus Kapov. Ask the Gemara for who to have Bishvus and Rafuna, there was such an individual in Rafuna's neighborhood, Va'a Parsiade, they didn't let him duchen. Answers the Gemara, who Dosh Birahava. Everybody was familiar with him, and it wasn't something that people would stare at. Tanya Namihoka, Zvalgun, Lo Yishtos Kapov, someone who's a Zvalgun should not duchen, but Dosh Biroi Mutta, Omra Bjochren, Summa Ba'achsim Enof, someone who's blind in one of his eyes, Lo Yishtos Kapov. Says the Rav, who daven b'shvus of Rabbi Yochanan? There was such an individual in Rabbi Yochanan's neighborhood daven parish tziyadei that they didn't let him duchen. Says the Gemara, who dosh b'iroi hava? He was, everybody knew him, and that's why they didn't stare. And the halacha is regarding a blind person that if the blind person is not noticeably blind, that means he wears glasses or he has eyes, he just Rachman al-Tzlan can see, he may duchen. Dosh b'iroi. The Trumas Hadashin says that if someone is in the city for 30 days, it's considered Dosh B'iroi. However, says the Trumas Hadashin, let's say somebody's a visitor in another town, even though he's already in that town for more than 30 days, since it's not the town that he lives in, he's not considered a Dosh B'iroi. The Sfas Emes says a very bechidish. Sfas Emes says that let's say someone has one of these mumim, but he's a Dosh B'iroi. So our Gemara clearly tells us that he's a lot of duchen. Says the Sfas Emes, this person, even when he'll go to another city, where in that other city he's not a dosh b'iroi, since where he lives, says the Sfas Emes, he is a dosh b'iroi, says therefore, even when he goes as a guest to another city, since it's a mitzvah loy shchicha, he may continue duchen. Tanya nami hachi, sume b'achs me'enov, la'yisas kapov, v'me a dosh b'iroi muta. Amish the Torahs, somebody whose hands died, Tanya, we learned to the Brisa, but most of the people in the city have hands that look like that mutter, then it's permissible, because again, it's something they're accustomed to, and they won't stare. says the Mishnah. Someone says, "Any oivel lifnei teva b'tzvum." I'm not going to wear colored clothing when I daven as a bat tefila. So, as the Rishonim explained, he's saying something that, as if he's saying that he's different, and therefore we don't want to let him daven. We don't let him daven even wearing white clothing. Besandalani oivel, if I says I will not wear shoes when I daven, we shouldn't let him daven even barefoot. The Miri has an interesting explanation in the Mishnah. He says this person seems to want to be frumer, more religious than what the Torah requires. Such a person we don't let down for Amit. If somebody makes his tefillin round, sakana, it's sakana. So Rashi explains, because if he bumps the tefillin when he enters a low doorway, it may penetrate his head. Vein by mitzvah. Taisha seems to explain, since what he's doing is not a mitzvah, and usually mitzvahs protect us from danger, this person will not have the schus of the mitzvah to protect him. Nosnoya mitzvah, if he put his tefillin on his forehand, or a pas yodoy, or on the palm of his hand, hareza derchaminis. It's apikarsim. Because we know that even though the Torah says ben necho, it means on the head. And we know, even though it says al yodecho, it means on the biceps. This person who's doing different is an apikoros. Tzipenzov, if he covered the tefillin with gold, or the nosna base unkel shaloi, if he put it on his shirt sleeve instead of on his biceps, hareza derech tzoinim, it's considered like one of the outsiders. They follow their own judgments. They're not doing what the Torah tells us. My tama, why don't we allow this person who has these conditions to daven, acting this way, there's a reason to be concerned what's going on in his mind. Maybe he became apikaris. Should we say that our Mishnah is actually teaching us what we learned in the Braisa, that the Mishnah teaches us tefillin merubas halacha mashma sinai, that the tefillin have to be squares halacha mashma sinai, but Amar Rava, Rava taught us the tefillin of alachsoinim, even the stitching and even the diagonal, it has to be a perfect square. And that's what our Mishnah is teaching us. Amra Papa, Masnisan Davidaka Mguza. Our Mishnah is talking about tefillin that are made round like a nut or egg. But we can't learn from our Mishnah how medagdig, how careful we have to be that the tefillin have to be a perfect square.